This is the Adam Gold Show.
I was surprised there was a lack of Halloween candy on press row last night for the Hurricanes and the Capitals.
That was disappointing.
The biggest tease, though, was when I was walking the halls this morning. Not this morning. I kind of did on my way out this morning. But when I got to the arena, I saw all the empty candy boxes.
Yeah.
There was like Reese's and Hershey's and Butterfinger and Kit Kat. And I'm like, well, they must be out here somewhere.
Yeah.
And they were not. They were not.
They had them all down on the bench for the post game.
Did
the storm surge.
What were the boxes doing all the way up on the fifth floor?
I don't know.
They could have just, they have garbage cans down at the arena level.
Maybe.
Could have just tossed them there. They were just teasing us, which is fine. I don't need the candy. I'm watching my figure. The Hurricanes did pretty well last night. They won in penalties, 3-2.
Yes,
we'll get to more about that game a little bit later on. But should have had a lot more goals than two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been a 5-2 final very easily. Mm-hmm. Freddie Anderson had to make some good saves in the third period. I thought Carolina was a better team by a lot, and they got a just result, unlike what happened in Philadelphia on Saturday. The first highlight you heard in that package came from Saturday night when the Hurricanes stole 2 points. Martin Natchez, they put the 2 points, a big number two, they sat it on the plane next to Natchez. Like, Marty,
yeah,
you take this home with you because you just did that in Philly. Anyway, it was a fun night. I thought it was a very entertaining game at PNC Arena. So we got a lot of stuff to do today. We're going to talk some football as well. And I have a declaration to make as we start. Happy College Football Playoff Fake Rankings Day.
Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go.
Tonight at whatever time. Let's get mad. How many years have they done these shows?
This show itself? I'd probably say close to six, seven years.
I have never watched an episode.
I don't blame you.
I just look at my timeline and look at my Twitter feed and see the anger. Why is this? I will provide the PSA for every, I do this every year. Don't pay attention. Don't assign any meaning. Don't. It's a fake. It doesn't mean anything. Their reasons don't mean anything. All of the things that they spit out, that they say to justify why this team is here and this team is not, doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't count. So if you get angry over, let's just say, Clemson coming in at number, let's just say Clemson is sixth tonight behind Alabama.
How dare.
Right? Don't worry about it. Because all Clemson has to do is keep winning, and they will eventually be in the top four. And I'll say the same thing about TCU. If you're mad, if you're a big horned frog, and the horned frogs are not in the top four, but they are still unbeaten, by all means, just sit tight. Don't scream about it. If they keep winning, they'll be in the playoff. Promise. Promise. A lot of these teams have to play each other.
Yeah.
Right? So we have Tennessee at Georgia, Alabama, playing at LSU, and then they have another difficult game left. Plus, you're playing Auburn with an interim coach coming up at the end of the year. That's going to be weird. Brian Harsin was fired.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Michigan have to play still. There's a lot of things going to happen. Not only does Tennessee play Georgia, but one of them will have to play Alabama. Tennessee could be a rematch. Georgia would be a first-time thing. So, a lot to do. All right. What will it look like tonight? And here's what I would like to do, Dennis.
Yes.
I would like to play College Football Playoff Fake Rankings Selection Show Bingo.
Okay.
We need to come up with a bingo card
That's easy.
We will use Nick Saban as the free space.
Of course.
And we need to come up with 24 other things that will likely be said.
Easy.
Coming up tonight, I've got strength of schedule, road wins, in their conference or league. I mean, whatever, it's the same. Eye test. Oh, man. Much improved, right?
Yeah.
Defensive metrics.
Okay.
Body clock.
Body clock?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't remember the whole body clock thing?
No.
Oh, yes. Body clock was a thing about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Game control.
Okay.
Right? I think there was also something about weather.
Okay.
I'm going to write this down. Anything about weather.
I'm typing it all out right now.
Oh, are you?
Oh, I got you.
Let's see. What else? Data points.
Oh, yes.
Data points, a good one. Tradition. I'm not sure why, but I'm sure it'll come up.
Oh, resume.
Oh, resume. Yeah,
resume, easily.
Write that down, too. It's the game day environment.
Mm-hmm.
Weather. So, whatever, however many that is, remember Saban is the free space. I think that's about 12 right there. 12. Yeah, I think that's 13 with Saban. So we need to come up with another dozen.
I actually have 14 here.
You have 14. Okay, we need to come up with another 11 to fill out the entire bingo card.
That's easy.
Okay, so if you have a suggestion for the college football playoff fake rankings day bingo card, let's have at it, and then we'll distribute the cards, and we'll see maybe somebody will win a shekel. Be very nice. And take a shekel out of petty cash. All right. So what will it look like tonight? What will their first ranking look like? My guess is Ohio State will be 1. Georgia will be 2. Tennessee will be 3. Michigan will be 4. Clemson 5. Alabama 6. TCU 7. Although they only put on the board, they only put the 6. So TCU is going to be a little stepchild out.
First one out.
Yes, they'll be 7th. Southern Cal 8th, Oregon 9th, UCLA 10th. Now we have the run on the Pac-12. Southern Cal, Oregon, UCLA, 8, 9, and 10. That's my prediction for the top 10. What does Paul Feinbaum think about who's number 1 tonight?
Well, my top 4 will not mirror what we're going to see tonight, but I still like Ohio State as the most complete team. After that, Georgia, Tennessee, and Michigan. Having said that, there's a lot of reason to believe Tennessee could end up number 1 tonight based on the win 3 weeks ago over Alabama.
Yeah, they have the best win.
Yeah.
Right? And that would be fine for me, but I guess Paul assumed that his top four looks like my top four. I'm not sure if
I think he copied you.
He might have. I said it first.
You did.
All right, so... We'll get back to Paul Feinbaum in a minute. Let me move on to something else. According to Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, the Rams, who also were in the Christian McCaffrey sweepstakes, the Rams were the team in the hunt for Brian Burns. And they did, in fact, offer first-round picks, albeit in 24 and 25, not this year. This would have been a better year to have the Rams' first-round picks since they look like they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think you had mentioned also that there was some chatter that Cam Akers would be tossed in, the running back who played at Florida State would be tossed in as a sweetener. And I'll just say, whatever. I mean, Cam Akers, I think, is a good running back, but it's not going to make me, it's not going to swing me one way or the other because, I mean, there's a lot of Cam Akers out there. Not to mention, he's been a little bit of a problem. Away, staying on the field and then complaining with the Rams. But I will go back to what I said over and over and over again about the idea of trading Brian Burns. If you turn down multiple first-round picks for Brian Burns, it is malpractice. If you are trying to build a team that wins, that is a consistent winner in your division as much as you can be, for the Panthers, and you are offered 2 first-round picks for Brian Burns, and you don't take it, you should be fired. Because there are so few players in this league that even come close to being worth two first-round picks. Non-quarterback division, unless we are talking about, and I don't even know if Aaron Donald is today, right? But unless we were talking about somebody who is one of the all-time greats, two first-round picks is a no-brainer. Automatic, yeah, of course. Where do I sign? I will drive him to you. Doesn't mean we don't love Brian Burns. So I'll put it this way. Let's just assume that the Rams are a playoff team next year. Not this year, next year. And they lose in the division round.
Okay.
We're talking about a pick in the neighborhood of 25, 26.
Something along those lines.
Right? So if you get that 2 years in a row to add to your own first-round picks, now you have draft capital. You have draft capital then that you can use to either move up or to simply add to your team. No offense to Brian Burns. He's not the best defensive end in this. Not the best edge rusher in the sport.
No.
I mean, I don't even know where he ranks. I mean, I'll say he's in the top 10 of edge rushers in the sport. But that ain't moving the needle. And it's certainly not making the Panthers this juggernaut of a defense. Their defense is good. Their defense is not amazing. It's good. Now, they're a little banged up. No Jeremy Chinn like that. They could use some help in other positions as well. And I'm not blaming Brian Burns. But he ain't Lawrence Taylor. He's not Derek, the late Derek Thomas. So, unless we're talking about somebody who is absolutely at the top of the sport today, if I'm getting two first-round picks, this is not even a question for me. On top of the fact, how far are the Panthers away from being great? From being great is the bad word. From being a legitimate contender to not only squeak into the playoffs, but to actually advance in the playoffs. And I think we're talking about 3 years. So now let's fast forward at 3 years. What is Brian Burns 3 years from now? We don't know. We don't know. But he would have been in, he'll be in year seven by that point.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, players.
Like 27 years old.
Yeah, actually, I will say only 27. I'm not saying it's not without some risk. But I will trust getting two first-round picks, especially those picks will be 21 and 22 when Burns is 26 and 27.
Wendy's new French toast sticks are so delicious, some are saying that they're better than their mom's breakfast.
Excuse me. Did you just say Wendy's new French toast sticks are better than my breakfast?
Mom, is that you?
Answer the question.
I said some people are saying that because they're so crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside and perfect in every way.
Uh-huh. And what do you think?
I think it's time to tell people to choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new sweet and crispy homestyle French toast sticks.
That's still not an answer.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Yeah, but you're also making the assumption that those picks are going to translate into a player of his caliber. You are making that assumption because
well,
here's the thing.
Every draft is the same way.
Well, sure, but here's the thing. If you know you have a top 10 guy at a premium position like edge rusher, why do you give that up?
You can get another one.
Can you?
Yes,
because
you can.
They don't grow on trees.
No, they do actually.
Top 10 edge rushers?
Look at prospective NFL drafts. Pull up any mock draft right now.
Yeah.
Any mock draft. I'll bet you there are at least five edge rushers in the top 20.
Sure.
All you got to do is pick the right one. And it's worth the try because, again, we're not even looking to replace it. By the way, you can get an edge rusher in the third round, too. I'm just saying that draft capital, what do the Panthers need more than anything on this earth?
Quarterback.
Right. And that draft capital in 2 years could put you in position to take the right quarterback. The right quarterback probably ain't there this time around. There is no quarterback in this draft that is blowing my socks off. CJ Stroud, probably the best prospect, but can we make a list of the Ohio State quarterbacks that have done well?
No.
We're done. We just made the list.
You just made the list.
That's my point. There's no quarterback. The Panthers, in terms of timing, the Panthers are going to be near the top of this draft in a bad year. You can get a quarterback, the same quarterback with the same chances of succeeding at number 15. And I'm not even saying they should take the quarterback at number 15. The Panthers need so much. We fool ourselves to thinking that, and we do this in every sport, we overrate our prospects, we overrate our young players. The Panthers have on their defense right now maybe four pieces that will be part of a really good team next in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe four. It's probably less. Probably less. Just looking at their roster now, Chin, Burns, Brown.
Horn.
Four. Okay, there's four. You need 11, and you need depth. That's what they don't have. So I would so much rather have the draft capital to be able to fill in now, and then when the time is right, add the quarterback and have draft capital to do it. It's the one thing they have not had is draft capital. And the really good teams have built through the draft. The really good teams. The Panthers have not been able to do that. They have screwed up drafts, and they have given draft picks away. They have done way too much trading a future second for a current third, which they did this year. Remember when they drafted Matt Corral?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't the way to do it, man. That is not the way to do it. Matt Corral or somebody just like him would have been there when they picked in the fourth round. But they traded into the third round again. I don't know why. It's a no-brainer for me. An absolute no-brainer for me. Will Brinson is supposed to join us in a little bit. What did the Eddie Pinheiro run of missed kicks mean for the Panthers? Think about this. So Eddie Pinheiro missed the extra point. They would have taken the lead. And then he missed the short field goal that would have won the game. The Panthers dropped from fourth in the NFC playoff race to 15th in the NFC playoff race as a result of the loss, which, depending on your point of view and what you want out of this season, might not be a bad development. Could be a good development. Maybe you prefer to be 15th. The truth is that the Panthers right now are in line to get a top five pick at worst. Lions and Texans have one loss each. The Panthers, Steelers, Jaguars, and Raiders each have two losses. I wonder how it's going in Las Vegas with Josh McDaniels. Anyway.
It's not.
But he did take responsibility for this one. I'm not sure by saying that he's not taking responsibility for the other four losses, but yeah, it's not gone well. But look, he's a first-year head coach like anybody else, right?
No, he's not a first. Well, he's first year with the Raiders.
With the Raiders, yeah.
But he's not his first go-around.
No, it's his second go-around. We can't count the fact that he jilted the Colts at the altar.
No, I'm talking about his time with the Broncos.
Right, his time with the Broncos, and they experimented with Tim Tebow. Obviously.
They won a playoff game.
They did win a playoff game. Nobody could take that from them.
They can't.
It's the biggest farce that they did win a playoff game. Steelers couldn't use one of their best players.
Yeah, don't remind me. I'm fully aware of what happened.
So anyway, it was Ryan Clark, right? Ryan Clark, safety. So anyway, look. They tried. They tried to make Tim Tebow a thing, and he didn't. He wasn't able to do that. But I really wanted to see the Panthers win that game for this reason and this reason only. Wouldn't it have been cool to see a four-way tie for the division at 3-5?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. Coastal division this thing up, please.
Oh, my gosh. It would have been so awesome to see a division tied, four-way tie at 3-5. Panthers in first place at 3-5. I think there's a very good chance that the division winner in the NFC South will be 7-10. How about that? How about a 7-10 team in the playoffs? You think we have arguments over whether or not we should have divisions in college football. We only have two of them in college football. But imagine we should go back to no divisions in the NFL. Actually, I can make an argument that that's what we should do. No divisions in the NFL. All right, to my man, Wilt Brinson, Pick Six podcast moderator, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, the only senior NFL writer who doesn't write. All right, Wilt Brinson.
That's not true. Pete Prisker didn't write either.
Oh, he doesn't write anymore?
I haven't written in like 10 years.
Oh, I don't know. I don't read.
Actually, it's one of our policies at CBS Sports. Our writers cannot write.
It's a great policy. All right, let's start. First of all, let's start with the Panthers. Your thoughts on turning down two first-round picks for Brian Burns? I know we talked about it last week. You said it wasn't true. Albert Breer wrote in SI.
Okay.
That the Rams offered a 24 and a 25 first. And I think there was even rumor that Cam Akers was a throw-in, which irrelevant. honestly, irrelevant in the deal. But if it is a 24 and 25 first-round pick, thoughts?
That's actually interesting. And Albert is very good at his job, too. That makes more sense, I guess, that the Panthers would turn it down because – If you're Scott Fitterer mm-hmm. or anyone currently employed by David Tepper, why would you have reason to believe that you'd still be employed in 3 years?
Sure.
if you're trying to attract a coach and you are trying to plan for the immediate future and you are absolutely unconcerned with what was going to happen in 3 years because your owner's a egotistical maniac, would you care more about Brian Burns or more about two first-round picks? I think Brian Burns.
It all depends on whether or not you're trying to keep your job or do your job.
Well, 90%, you're 100% right.
Right.
I'm going to steal that phrase. 90% of the NFL is trying to keep their job.
That's probably why 98% of the NFL, well, I shouldn't say 98%, a lot of that 98% does a poor job. Because only doing it for today it would be like investing simply for what's going to happen next week.
It's why the AFC East sucked, except for the Patriots, for years.
Yeah.
Because everyone else was simply trying to keep their job and mm-hmm. not get fired for losing to Bill Belichick. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick is over there doing his job
right. And
doing his best to ensure that he was succeeded. Not like he'd be like, all right, you know, we're going to trade down in the draft. Instead of getting this shiny object here, we're not going to trade future first-round picks. We're going to take your future first-round pick.
The only problem with Belichick is that his drafting has been so average.
This year's draft is pretty good, though.
Oh, was it? Okay, good for him.
We're going to blame it on Dave Ziegler, who's now in Las Vegas.
All right, let's go to the. By the way, the Panthers-Falcons game was actually super entertaining this week. All I've ever asked out of the Panthers this year is, I know you're going to be bad. Just make it interesting and enjoyable to watch. And I thank them for giving me an interesting, enjoyable watch this past Sunday. All right, to the 49ers, I still don't know what to make of them other than I think they should be really good. Now that McCaffrey is there, and obviously they're going to run the entire offense through him, which is probably a good idea because Kyle Shanahan's not dumb. What are your thoughts on that team?
Well, I think the best way I've heard it described by a Panthers fan is from my buddy Jimmy Poole, who said, "Good for Christian McCaffrey. He's living his best life. We had all the time in the world to make things good for this guy, and now he's out in California. He's got what is his girlfriend Olivia Culpa? Is that right?
Oh, I have no idea. Is she?
She's a lovely woman. Lovely.
Okay, I'm sure she is.
Highly recommend. Anyway.
Sure.
lovely young lady. She's on the sidelines in a Niners like halter top. You know, there's like family out there. He's hanging out with a guy who used to babysit for him. He's throwing passes. He's catching passes. He's throwing touchdowns, running for touchdowns, catching touchdowns. I mean, like what a life. Good for Christian McCaffrey. He's in an offense with a. Yeah, it was sort of like when Cam Newton. It's like, man. What if the Panthers had like done right by Cam Newton and got him a good offensive coordinator
and a good offensive line
weapons and an offensive line? Yeah. Like, come on, I mean, imagine how good he could have been. Mm-hmm. And he's McCaffrey, and he's out here. Just he looks so much better in a 49ers uniform, like physically, just like more attractive in a 49ers uniform than a Panthers uniform. And I think that like. I think he's going to dominate for Kyle Shanahan. Jimmy Garoppolo said that he didn't say a word in the huddle the entire game.
McCaffrey didn't or Garoppolo didn't?
McCaffrey.
Okay.
McCaffrey didn't because he knew all the plays.
Oh, sure.
He knew everything.
He's a savant.
If in 10 days he knew everything he's supposed to do in the entire Kyle Shanahan playbook.
Yep. He's a savant. I mean, he's probably working on a piano. He's probably playing the piano at night. I mean, some people just have it. And there is no question that he has had it. And I said this when they were thinking about trading him. I thought it was the humane thing to do. Basically, for the Panthers to give Christian McCaffrey and his career meaning the rest of the way. When we come back, I guess one quarterback isn't quite done from the three veterans that have had tough years. We'll talk about the three vets next. Wilt Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator. If you want to add to the bingo card for the college football playoff fake selection show tonight, feel free. Make a couple of thoughts and you can shout it to us before we get out of here.
Boo just has to like steadfastly not allow Carolina in. I mean, you got one job, pal.
By any means necessary, we'll put that on the list. All right, so I mean, they're going to be in the top 25. I think State will be in the top 25 tonight too.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they'll both be in the top 25. All right, let's examine this. Are the Packers done? Done.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible. The problem is that they're bad.
Well, that excuse me. I don't know why I didn't expect that, but yes, that would be a problem. Bad. Bad is not good.
It's a function of I think it's really a function of just Aaron Rodgers don't have any weapons, you know. Like that's the problem. Is right. he has no weapons. The defense isn't as good as they thought, and they're not able to like functionally run the offense through the running game in a way that they thought they would be able to, which is causing them to be again bad.
Yeah, and I also think that for whatever we think of the Giants, the Jets, the Commandos, whatever. The Giants might be good. The Jets might be good. I don't know. They've lost, by the way, the Packers have now lost 4 in a row. First time Rodgers ever lost 4 in a row. First time Brady's ever lost 3 in a row. The soft part of their schedule is over. So at, what are they, 3-5, the Packers?
Yeah, and the Vikings 6-1.
Right. Forget about the Vikings. I'm just talking about being the 7th seed. Now, in the NFC, the 7th seed, you're not that far away, but you're probably going to have to be no worse than 9-8 to be the 7th seed. I mean, I think somebody's going to win the division possibly at 7-10.
You can potentially be the 4th seed and be like 6-10-1.
But that's just the division winner. I'm talking about being one of the wild cards.
Nine and eight is if you want to feel like you have any shot of being the final wild card in either conference, 9-8 is probably the floor.
Right.
Or the floor.
That's the worst you can be. So getting to 9-8 means that the Packers are going to have to win 6 of their last 9 games. And they have the Cowboys. They have the Eagles. They have, they're on the road at the Dolphins. They have another game with the Vikings. And they can lose to anybody right now, including the Bears, and they're on the road at the Bears.
Including the Lions.
Including the Lions. They're at the Lions this week. Although the Lions just traded TJ Hockenstein.
What?
They did. You didn't know that? Did I just break that news? Boom! Breaking news! Do you have to go emergency pod because TJ Hockenstein was traded?
I may, actually.
It is trade deadline, then.
It is trade deadline. Yeah, we got a podcast here at 3:30. And there you go. We're traded too. I don't know if you saw that yesterday.
That's good. I'm glad. Roquan Smith traded from the Bears yesterday. Like, did I miss that Roquan Smith was not good? The Bears getting rid of
him is great. He is great.
So, like, if you're the Bears, why are you trading him for like just a second? I know they have to pay him, but you got to pay somebody, I think, in the NFL, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is it's an off-ball linebacker, and like,
okay.
I mean, he is going to demand a lot of money. His contract's going to be huge whenever he gets paid.
Right.
You can franchise tag him, which gives you, a certain amount of team control, obviously. But the Ravens are a perfect team for Roquan because they ain't going to franchise tag him. They got somebody else they got to worry about.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Have you and I talked about how the Ravens should franchise tag Lamar Jackson? That they should do the non-exclusive tag, which is less money ultimately.
Yes, we did talk about that actually.
Okay, never mind. Then we won't talk about it again.
It's less money. See if somebody offers you two first round picks, and then does a contract sheet and negotiates for you.
Yeah, because the contract. If somebody wants to give him the fully guaranteed contract, which the Ravens don't appear to ever want to do, you could always match it. I mean, you always have the opportunity to match it, right?
Yeah, you just be like, all right, that sounds great. Lamar agreed to that. You agreed to that. We'll pay that. Let's go.
Let's do that. So, but that is how you keep that overall cost down if ultimately he plays on the franchise tag. All right, so Packers are toast. Are the Buccaneers? I mean, look, the division is very winnable, but that's
Buccaneers not toast because they still have the weapons in the passing game, and
do they?
Yeah, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, very good.
Who else is? But right now, nobody's healthy, though. And Julio Jones is not going to be healthy in a week, even if he's healthy right now.
What? They traded him in the division?
They did, yes. The Lions traded. I didn't mention the Lions traded him to the Vikings. Yes, TJ Hockenson was traded to the Vikings.
For 2023, okay.
it's a complete mess.
Can I come back in the 1 o'clock hour? Is that possible?
No, I have no room.
Okay. I may have to go.
That's fine. If you have to go, you have to go. It's life in the big city. Do you have to go?
I have to go. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll say goodbye. Bye, Will Vincent. What?
I'll come back on Thursday.
That's fine. We'll do it. We'll set it up.
I'll come back again this week. All right. See you, man.
All right. Vincent has to go. I'm dying. Oh, this is so good.
That's the world we live in. That's live radio and stuff for you.
Is TJ Hockenson that good?
He's good. He was a first round pick, wasn't he? A couple years ago, wasn't like him and Noah Fant.
There's 32 first round picks every year.
Well, I know, but usually you don't see tight ends going in the first round.
Yeah, but
maybe it was. I know there's a couple guys that drafted.
I'm sure he's good. Iowa, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, Noah Fant.
So, look, TJ Hockenson, I guess, is worth an emergency pod.
Yeah.
So Will Brinson went by. Oh, man. So, I was looking at the NFL playoff matchups right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, this is how mediocre the NFL has been this year. The Titans are back to a 2 seed in the AFC. They win the tiebreaker with Kansas City for, I think, it's conference record. Now, ultimately, that'll adjust, and the Chiefs are the second best team in the AFC, and they'll be the number 2 seed. But Tennessee right now is the 2 seed. The Chargers. who are all talent and no ability to win, are the 7 seed. The Chiefs and the Dolphins, I actually think the Dolphins might be good when they get healthy, but we don't know if they're ever going to be healthy. But the Chiefs and the Dolphins are the 3-6. And then the Ravens, who, depending on the day and whether or not their defense wants to hold a lead, would be matched up right now against the Jets, who are half of a football team. They have a very good defense, and the Jets have a very bad offense.
And losing Breece Hall didn't help either.
No, it as a matter of fact, the numbers in their run game without Breece Hall and with Breece Hall were essentially great to bad. Like, no joke. They were like 5-something yards a carry with Breece Hall and 3-something yards a carry without. Now, they went and traded for the guy from Jacksonville, but who knows if he's any good. Minnesota is the 2 seed right now in the NFC. And Minnesota adds Hockenson, and they have tremendous wide receivers and a healthy right now Dalvin Cook. I say right now because in a week Dalvin Cook won't be healthy.
Potentially.
Right? I mean, that's just that has been his history. But if Minnesota stays healthy, I don't know what to make of a team like that that still has Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. At some point, and Kirk, to me, Cousins is basically he's Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe a slightly better version of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
I mean, just
slightly better,
but
I'd say.
Slightly better? Like, I think Garoppolo, though, is a better bright lights quarterback than Kirk Cousins is. Like, when the game gets bigger, I think Garoppolo gets better. And I think it's the opposite for Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And there's something to that. Seattle right now is the 3 seed. Process that for a second.
Golly, a lot of people thought they were going to be the worst team in
Terrible.
The league. Yeah. Like, oh, this is going to be perfect. They'll ride out with Geno Smith. They'll get a top pick, draft a QB.
Two things here. I don't know whether or not you should say Geno Smith is really good or Geno Smith is having a hell of a year. And those two things are different, right? Because I don't know if you assign real meaning beyond this year to what Geno Smith is doing this year. What I do know is he's making himself money. He's going to get a contract, whether it's from Seattle or somebody else, based on what he's doing. I'm not against it. Oh, can you just see it now, Dennis? Geno Smith?
Panthers killed him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that. Yeah. Well, it was interesting because he did say post-game recently that he gives a lot of credit to Ben McAdoo.
Yeah.
For, like, hey, this guy actually believed in me when he was backing up in New York.
Yeah, he did. He was a second-round pick of the Jets. Then when he was with the Jets, he was slated to be the starter. And then a former Jet teammate turned Buffalo Bill in a preseason game. No, not a preseason game. In the training camp, in the locker room, former Jet teammate sucker punched him in the face.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because Geno Smith owed him money from, like, a card game or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so Smith is out for half a year. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I believe it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, took the job and became good. And that guy, I think it was like Kenan Polly was his last name, ends up going to Buffalo. And when the Bills played the Jets, Rex Ryan was the head coach of the Bills. He made that kid the captain of the team when they played. And ultimately he got released by the Bills because he wasn't that good. But Geno Smith's Jets career fizzled out there. And then he ended up backing up with the Giants. And now he's in Seattle. But yeah, good for him, man. It's just one of those things about the NFL. Timing and opportunity, it just sits there if you persevere. So he's having a great year, and he's going to get a contract.
Yeah.
He's going to get a contract. But I don't think Seattle's all that good. But as it turns out, that division might not be all that good.
No.
Right? The Rams aren't for various reasons. They're just too banged up. The offensive line is bad. The Cardinals are still coached by Cliff Kingsbury.
They still stink.
And Kyler Murray is a fun player to watch, but not that good a player. So maybe Seattle is going to win that division, although I still think it's San Francisco. And then the Falcons and the Cowboys are the 4-5 game. Cowboys legitimately good, but only one team can win that division. And the Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
This is the Adam Gold Show.